We have a tendency to forget things. In my case, it's worse than any others. I was going to the bank a few years ago, 20 years ago. And the time you go to the bank, you remember that period? And I went with my daughter, and she had a place to play. And I did my banking, got in my car, drove, and I did, oh, my daughter! Came back. She didn't notice it. That's good. She learned it when I preach about it later. She said, Dad, what did you do? We can forget important things. We have a tendency to forget about the church too. When we think about spiritual maturity, we have a tendency to be self-focused. Like, I'm going to do it myself. What we have read this morning in the Bible is different. What God has planted is a church project. It's the church that has been given as a primary mean for my spiritual growth. We're going to see this first this morning. And second, the church has primary means to train leaders. Why local church? Local church is God's design, and we read that when we read over this letter in Ephesians. But some background a little bit, just to tell you the beauty of it. Maybe some of you know that John Calvin was maybe a theologian because he wrote books, but he was also a pastor in a little town called Geneva. At that time, Geneva was small. But Calvin was convinced that the church was there for the training of the disciples and also for the training of leaders. So he created with the team around him a school called the Academy of Geneva. And where every day Christian could grow through the teaching of the scripture. And there was a level two where Calvin will took men that wanted to be trained for ministry and did that in his local church in Geneva. Calvin couldn't go to France because he would have been persecuted, but he had a burden for his native country. And up to some years, some 200 men were trained in the context and the life of this Geneva little church, preparing for ministry and mission to be sent away. 2,150 churches were planted in France through the ministry and training of one local church in Geneva. Amen? Historians tell us that 3 million came to Christ through the ministry of those ministers. That is the power of God using his own local church to train and send and build the kingdom for his glory. And this is the beauty of a church that we have a tendency to forget or take for granted. But it's a beauty, it's a reality in our lives that is very important. Let's start with the first point. The church as a primary mean for your spiritual growth. After explaining the gospel in chapter 1 and 2, the beauty of that marvelous good news, and it is such a great chapter when you read Ephesians 1 and you realize everything that comes with this great news, Paul shifts to explain that the mystery that was unveiled in the Old Testament is now present for us, which is the church. Which is like the manifestation of the wisdom of God, even in the heavenly realms, for us here on earth. It is like where God say, you want to see my wisdom? Look at the local church. Most of you will say, seriously? But this is what God choose to use. Humans like you and me, with our fragile situation, to build up his glory. But the reason he used the church, it's because we're one body all together. You spoke about unity last week, probably, and the beauty of that unity and love that is to be created through the church. You know what? There's something behind that we're going to talk today. God gave gifts to everyone, to all the members of the church, and he gave some men, gifted men, not to be the doers of everything, but to be the trainers. So you could serve with your gift the church and the mission of the church. And this is how God is presenting the paradigm here in verse 11 and 12. Like, God is giving to this church some trainers so you could be trained through each other's and through the trainer and become mature for his glory. So there's a process of training in the context of the local church. When you hear training, don't hear a school thing. Yes, there's some content to learn, but it's a process. It's like a follow me process. When Jesus came on earth, he said, follow me. I'm going to show you the Christian life. Sorry, I've got some allergies this morning. Follow me. We're going to learn through relationship. Christian life is relational. Are you with me? It's not something I grow alone. If Paul is saying that God gave trainers, if we're logical here this morning, it means you are in training this morning. Some people look at me and say, yes, that's true. It's easy to say yes, but we don't like that in real life. We don't like to be in training. We don't like being served by people in training. You know, when we go to the grocery stores and there's multiple lines and you choose the little line, huh? You choose the smallest one. And then you look and the lady over there has a little plastic badge called in training. And if you're like me, you're not like, woohoo! You're like, oh no. She's gonna make mistakes. And when they make mistakes, they have to call the other lady that comes in with some keys to fix the problem, you know? And that takes time. You don't want that. You want to be served by the best one. You know, that kind of lady that goes like, ding, 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 done. This is what I like. So we forget about the principle that God in his church put trainers because we need to be trained. We need to grow in community. We need to grow in relationship process. Especially in an age like today where you got Google and stuff like that, where you type whatever you want, you know, and you've got a YouTube video to tell you how to do everything. You're alone. We can do everything alone today. Everything could be done alone. But this is not the context where we will reach maturity. Maturity is not something we succeed by ourselves. And sometimes we think, I'm going to read a book or listen to this and I'm gonna grow. But we forget about the primary means God wants to use. His church. Is church for you a place you attend on a Sunday morning? Like you come, you have nice music and the best preacher in town and everything? This is not Christianity. This is part of Christianity, that's for sure. But church is not just a church meeting. It's relationship, growing together into the image of Christ, to the beauty and the stature of Christ, to full maturity, all together. You see, like this piece of art, maybe you saw that before, where they take little picture of faces, they glue them together in a manner that when you're looking from a distance, you just see one image. But when you get close to it, it's thousands of little faces. This is the church. We are here gathering together. We make one body. So when we are united all together, people see Christ through us. It's impossible for you to show Christ being alone. Christ will be seen through a community loving each other, because this is what reflects God. A triune God loving each other one is reflected by the community growing together. This looks like sports also. If you love sports, teams that wins normally are the teams that has been working as a team, giving everyone the chance to serve through their giftedness and creating like a winning situation. We hear that all the time. When there's a cup in the end, it was a team process. There's so many things in the world that we grow like that, especially the local church that God created by dying on the cross to give his blood, so we're going to be forgiven and we receive a new identity. We are adopted in his family and we create a unity through relationship. This is God's gift. When Paul goes through the letter, he starts with this gospel and he immediately goes to the church. And now he's describing how God's method is working all together. Now, let's say you are two or three together and you want to start something and you want to grow. Don't forget the essentials. You know, you can have the most beautiful BMW, brand new, all included, very, very perfect car, and not able to move one inch. What? Why? There's no gas in the tank. Right? With no gas, you may have the most beautiful car and you cannot move. What's the gas for us? This is the power of the gospel. We need to remember what the gospel is, what Jesus did. Jesus, it's a good news. Every morning when you wake up, it's like you are dressed during the night like a moralist, like someone is telling you, start to do things by yourself and you're going to get it. That's a lie. We all bring it back in the morning. We need every morning to gospelize ourselves and bring it back that I was a sinner. I was going in the direction of hell for eternity. And just because God is gracious, he called me, he washed me, he renewed me. He gave me a new identity. And I live for his glory. I don't live for myself anymore. This is what I need to have as a power in my mind every morning when I woke up. Amen? Amen. This is the power of God, Paul is saying in Romans chapter 1. This is where I'm going to get that there's nothing I can do on this earth that will win something in front of God. It's impossible. It is God who firstly gave me everything. And when I'm thinking about this and I refresh the grace of God in my mind, when I realize that I was dying and he gave me a new life, a second chance, a way to serve him, grace is providing power to serve each other. So let's be practical a little bit this morning. If maturity comes through the church and it's relational and you're in training, you already forgot, huh? You're in training. You need to come with a batch next Sunday. Every one of you, I'm in training. And then we're going to have this relationship of growing into maturity altogether. We need that. So why don't you choose 1, 2, 3 people where you're going to open your life and you're going to share with them. You're going to pray together. You say, I want this growing stuff alone. I need my brothers and sisters. I need someone in my life. Because we don't see well who we are. That's very funny. That's the story of the guy in the morning taking his breakfast, and he saw this man in a nice suit with a big mustache and a big watch and nervous. He said, this guy is going for a very important meeting. The problem is he ate a bagel with cream cheese, and he had some cream cheese in the mustache. And he was going straight for this important meeting. What are you doing when you're just looking at that? You say, hey, sir, stop. You have cream cheese in the mustache. Right? So we all have cream cheese in our mustache, don't we? And we don't see it. And we think nobody sees who we are. Let's create in this church here in BC a mentality of having 2 or 3 people in my life talking about my cream cheese and my mustache. We need each other. Christian growth is relational. We need to open up and grow with others. And for what? Because we want to become mature? Sometimes I meet Christian, hey, I want to become mature, you know? Like, I'm going to be the best mature. They don't realize that we don't grow maturity for ourselves. It's not about us. It's about the glory of God. It's about everyone here in this room not being tossed away and not being pushed away, but persevere in faith. It's about the body of God, that like one people united all together through maturity to reflect the glory of God. So this town will see Jesus. That's the goal. So you cannot say, come to this church, say, I want to come here, but maturity is not for me. And you cannot say, I'm going to do it alone in my living room. Real church is relationship. And you need a couple of people in your life that can speak to your heart and share and pray together and grow. Amen? This is what Paul is saying here. Now, second point, if God gave the trainer, he gave them to the church. And if God gave the trainer to the church, is giving the future trainers to the local church also. We don't see them because they aren't trained yet. They are not ready. They're brand new. We need to train them. He doesn't give the future pastor a place in a Walmart store, you know. He gives those people to the local church. I've never seen a roof being open and a parachute came down with, I'm a pastor, I'm given to the church. So the head of the church, Christ, is giving them, but he's giving them like, it's you here in front of me that could be called anytime by Christ himself to lead. To lead here or a ministry or a full-time job or being sent away God is calling some of you. Maybe people turn to you to ask questions, or maybe you have like a passion, something is burning in your heart. Just go and talk to the pastors here and be prepared to be trained, because God is giving the future leaders, the future trainer to this church, so the actual trainer could be involved in the training of those leaders too. Amen? This is what the first century church did. They didn't have any seminaries. They didn't have any parachurch organization. They had a movement. They had a movement of disciple, making disciple, growing together, and sending leaders that were trained in the context of the church, or trained in the mission field with Paul, bringing some young men with him to be trained and be sent to different places. And we saw the movement going all over the Roman Empire. What do they have? Local churches and the scripture and the principle of growing together and being sent through the services. We see that in the Antioch church in Acts chapter 13, where at first there was little converts. They grow in conversion, and they send workers there. And Barnabas took Paul, said, "I need help, come and help me." And they started the ministry. And we read in Acts chapter 13, there was a bunch of leaders now. Where did they come from? They were trained by Paul and Barnabas. And then the Spirit came and said to that church, "I want Paul and Barnabas to be sent and plant churches around the empire." One local church, the Antioch church. One local church, Geneva with John Calvin. One local church, Central Baptist in Victoria. Amen? Amen? This is God's movement, principle of growth, to reach out and to see churches being planted everywhere. If God is giving those future leaders, they are here, and they need trainers to mentor them and produce the fruit God has intended into their lives. It was the principle before Christ, it's the principle of Christ, and it's the same principle after Christ. In the Old Testament, Moses did it with Joshua, didn't he? They were together, meeting God in the tent and leading. And God said, after 40 years, "Joshua, you're the next one." And the prophet did the same thing. There was the school of prophet. And Elijah did it with his disciple also. And Jesus came and he took 12 men. They stayed together for 3 years. Isn't that amazing? 3 years, day and night with Jesus. And the guy didn't get it first. I can tell you, read the Gospels. Some guy said, "Let's burn the city." Boom. Jesus said, no, we didn't came for that, guys. They need to be trained. And they grow through the ministry of being with Jesus, spending time together, being mentored by the Master. And they were sent away with the Spirit, and they could build the church. Paul did the same thing in mission. What he said in 2 Timothy 2:2 is, "What you have received from me and trusted to others, so they could entrust it to others." Paul got the movement of gospel growth, creating the power through a local church. And there's some things you learn in schools, there's something you learn in books, but there's something you learn in real life, and ministry is something you learn in real life. Let's say Christians are doctors, and you need a heart surgery tomorrow. You meet the doctor, and the doctor said, "You know what? You're going to be the first one." You say in your head, "Oh, no." And then he said, "Don't worry. I read tons of books." Would you be scared? I would be scared to death. I want to run away out of the office. "Give me an experienced doctor. He's going to play on my heart." I can die. Imagine spiritual life in the kingdom of God being worked it out. There's something you don't learn only in books, but through the real life experience of a local church. Through relationship with a lady that is 95 and a man that is 89 and a teenager that is 15. And this challenging process of building the church, it is what God is using to prepare men for ministry and women for the ministry they've been called to by God's gift. So we need a mentoring process. We need to prepare those people that God gave to this church. They're not on the streets. They're not in Walmart. They're in Central Baptist Church right now. Amen? You could be in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s. I don't care. God is calling anytime, anyone to serve. And you feel this morning, this is you, knock at the door of your pastor's ear and say, I want to be mentored because I think God is calling me. And if it's you, and if you're wrong, they'll tell you. This is what mentoring does. This is real discussion, okay? Don't take it personal. Training is like that. Pastors, through times, through church history, did it. Augustine did it. Calvin, like I said, did it. Pastors in England did it. Pastor in New England did it. Jonathan Edwards did it. They believe God gave future leaders to the local congregation where they will be mentored and be equipped to serve either locally, provincially, or world in mission. This is all God is working out. And I can see the difference when a church believes what Paul is saying here, true about the local church. Like I said at the beginning, we have a tendency to forget, and we could certainly forget this local church as a primary mean for your spiritual growth and for the training of future leaders. Amen? Don't forget about it at Central. It's so precious. You remember, you're all here. All of you here this morning who are Christian, you are called in ministry. And God gave trainers to train you. It's not just Barton in ministry. You're all in ministry. This is what Paul is saying in the text here. You've been trained to serve through your gifts. So, and God wants this church to be the tool for you to grow so this church could all together manifest the glory of God. So people will see Jesus, really, who he is. But to understand that, you need to remember this morning, you're all in. I know it's hard to say. We want to be the best. But you're all in? You're all in training. That means you need people. So they will tell you. You think you don't have cream cheese and a mustache? No. Laugh a lot. Because you have some. And people that will going to be close to you in this creative way, you're going to create this relationship. I have two men in my life, Yannick and Stefan, and we have a process together to talk to each other, to create this growth in us. It's so precious. I've been through this process with them since 30 years now. And last week we were in the same car, and Yannick told me, you know what, Francois, what we went through is so precious. We wouldn't be where we are today if we wouldn't have those conversations where we talk to each other and we challenge each other to grow in Christ. Do it with someone in this church. You're all in training. And if you feel you're called to something, just manifest it and accept to be trained to do it. You know what? We have received so much. We have received so much from Jesus Christ. Our new identity is in Him. Paul is saying this letter, in Him, and all the list. We don't live for ourselves anymore. If you're going back home today saying, this is my goal and my plans and this is my life, you got it wrong. You don't belong to yourself anymore. If you're in Him, your life has been put to death. And you have a new life for the glory of God. Because Christ paid a price for you. The wrath of God had to be delivered for everyone who has sins. And Christ took our substitution on the cross. And we could only say, thank you. I believe in you. Amen? And this new life is for the glory of God. Would you use the church as God intended it to be used for your life? Everyone that comes here, no exception. I spoke to a man who's going to get 90 in a few months. And if you met him, he would tell you, I still have to grow. Oh, that's what I love to hear. And he's going to use the church to keep on growing.